Blog Talk Radio.
God, Father, I thank you for your favor, God. Thank you for your enabling power, God. Father, I thank you for your judgment withheld that we have experienced today, God. Father, thank you for the word that's going to go forth this evening, God. Your plan of reconciling the world back to you by giving them the desire to share your son, Jesus Christ, and all he accomplished at Calvary for. Father, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the Song of Praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Yeah.
Help me see that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Jesus Christ in Old Testament prophecy. And one of the reasons we're going to be discussing this is because God gets great glory out of the fact that his plan to dwell with mankind has always been in effect, and to have mankind dwell with him in perfect harmony, it's always been in effect. And God is serious about making a name for himself, about making a people for himself, about getting glory and praise for himself. And he has accomplished this through the obedience of his son, Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Jesus Christ in old prophecy, what we are seeing is God describing what he is going to do in the future before he does it, so that when he does it, there is no doubt that it is God doing it. There is no doubt that what is transpiring is a part of God's plan. And so what we see is, because of this, we understand that only God knows the past, present, and future. We understand that God discloses in his word what he will do in the future to confirm his word, so that he can get great glory out of the fact that his word is his plan in action. And when we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the chief cornerstone of God's grand plan to dwell with mankind, we can just praise God and thank him for having designed such an incredible plan and realized that plan over thousands of years. See, over the past 6,000 years, God has been about the business of preparing all of us to receive the salvation that we have available to us today. But what is fascinating to me is that when you look at how much time was spent laying the groundwork, how much time was spent developing the children of Israel into a nation, what you see in the Old Testament between when Adam sinned after his creation in the Garden of Eden until the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ, through the Virgin Mary, is you see 4,000 years that was spent laying the groundwork for Jesus Christ to come forth as the Savior, come forth as the Messiah. And then and now you see the reality of Jesus Christ having fulfilled his purpose and making it possible for you and I to once again have the Holy Spirit within us like Adam had it when he was originally created. See, what you have to understand is that when Adam died, what he lost was his spirit. He lost the Holy Spirit within him that allowed him to communicate directly with God, to be at one with God, to always walk with God, and to be in that place where being in the presence of God was natural. And now, after 4,000 years of that not being available, after Jesus Christ died on Calvary and was laid in the stone tomb, dead for 3 days and three nights before God raised him from the dead with the same power that converted us and made us alive again. We are now in that place where we can go boldly before the throne of God, knowing that the blood of Christ has covered all of those sins and made us worthy, and that the Holy Spirit within us has given us the enabling power to do anything that God asks us to do in order to help him realize his vision of reconciling the world back to him, of making himself dwell again with his people and his people dwell with him. So I want Isaiah chapter 53, and this is a powerful passage of scripture because it is showing us how God has prepared the way for us through his son Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished. I want to start in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 53, and It says in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 53, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we see him in no beauty that we should desire him. And what's fascinating here to me is that this is describing Jesus Christ as the arm of the Lord revealed. And it says that this arm of the Lord shall grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. From his birth, he hath no form nor comeliness, meaning he was a spirit, just like God. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So right here in these first two verses, it's saying that Jesus Christ is going to be made manifest to us. And that is prophetic all by itself. But look at what it says in verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't appreciate him. This is speaking of what transpired when Jesus Christ was in his ministry on earth. It said that he, Jesus Christ, the arm of the Lord revealed, was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And then it speaks about us, his people, at the time. It said, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, you have to understand that this is speaking prophetically of his crucifixion, where Jesus Christ was beat. He was emaciated. And think about this. The devil was given permission to basically beat Jesus Christ within an inch of his life before he was nailed to the cross. And the only restraint, the only requirement, the only caveat to all that was that he could not break any bones. And what is powerful about this is that you see how even in this particular instance, God had to authorize what happened. And God said, you can beat him, but no bones will be broken. This is prophesied in the Old Testament as well. But it said that he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. Now, he was beat so badly that people could not look upon him. And when you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because if the devil was given permission to beat the Son of God without restraint, except he couldn't break any bones, just imagine what that would look like. It felt like, I'd imagine, success to the devil, because it was what looked like success to him. He is in the process of killing the Son of God. And we turned our faces from him. It said he was despised and we appreciated him not. See, the people at that time, the children of Israel, they were looking for their Messiah to come as a great king. And Jesus Christ said to them at that time, I am your great king. I am your Messiah. And because they were looking for someone to deliver them from the Emperor of Rome, they were looking for relief at that time, temporal relief. They did not see who they had in their midst until everything played out. And at that time, when he was beat to a pulp, when his face was emaciated, when his body was ripped to shreds, it said he was despised and we esteemed him not. He was not appreciated. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, this is speaking about our response to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we look at what happened before Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, a big part of our restoration transpired during that time period, the period before he was actually nailed to the cross, because he was beat 3 times with 39 lashes each time, with a whip that had pieces of bone and metal at the end of it that were designed to rip the flesh and muscles from his bones and tear him to shreds. And it says, surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our grief, or he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And looking at what was occurring from a 5 senses basis, we would say this person has been stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. And he was. He was wounded for us. Look at what it says in verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, that's why this Old Testament prophecy about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord and Master, is so important to understand, because way before God did this, he did this. When it was written here, it was as good as done, and it was shared and available. And this says that he was wounded for our transgressions. See, the beatings that Jesus Christ took, the 3 beatings before he was nailed to the cross, was for our physical wholeness. And when he was beat those 3 times with the 39 lashes, with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at the end of it, that was for our wholeness. He was the last sacrifice, the last blood sacrifice and offering that was received by God. And his perfect blood paid for all of our sin, but his broken body, before he was nailed to the cross, before he was stabbed with a spear, before he died, his broken body paid for our physical wholeness, our healing and health. And to me, this is important because it tells us something. It tells us that our healing is as important to God as our spiritual restoration. And once again, none of this makes any sense unless we're made spiritually whole first. But the price for our physical wholeness was paid before the price for our spiritual wholeness. Actually, while he was beat, his blood was being shed, but only after he died and his blood was shed and he was raised from the dead, was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecy here realized. See, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We, past tense or current tense, we are healed by what he accomplished on Calvary. But what's fascinating here is that this was written a long time before Jesus Christ was actually crucified. But when you understand that prophecy is God putting forth his plan and telling you what he's going to do way before he does it, this is as good as done, because when God says something, it must happen. It's not optional. So look at what it says here in verse 6, after it says that we're healed by Jesus Christ's stripes, that our peace, the chastisement of our peace, was upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God placed all of our iniquity on his son, Jesus Christ, and had him pay the price that we could never pay. And when Jesus Christ paid the price for our physical wholeness with his beating and our spiritual wholeness with his perfect blood, it was as good as done. Now, all we have to do is receive it. And this says, all of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of all of us, so that now we can return to God because of the price that was paid by his son, Jesus Christ, who obeyed God even unto death. And God says he gave him a name above every name, the name Jesus Christ, that at the name Jesus Christ, every knee in heaven, in earth, and under the earth shall bow and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. See, every knee is going to confess that Jesus Christ is master to the glory of God. And that is important to understand, that we've all gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And the Lord God placed all of our sin on his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be restored and made worthy to dwell with him and be able to go boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. Look at what it says here in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 53. It said, he, Jesus Christ, was oppressed and he was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. See, there was no retaliation on his part. There was no reviling when he was being reviled. He received all that God had for him to accomplish at Calvary, so that the price for our wholeness could be realized. The price for our restoration could be paid. God's grand plan of dwelling with mankind could be fulfilled because of Jesus Christ's obedience at Calvary. Look at what it said here in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. See, God is sharing with us way in advance of when it actually happened, what was going to transpire. And there was a period where Jesus Christ was in prison. He was hanging, literally hanging by his arms, waiting to be judged. And he was taken from prison and from judgment. And then it says he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. And he was stricken. And see, we have to understand that his punishment, his death, burial, and resurrection was for our restoration, for us being able to come to life again and become worthy to be in the presence of the throne of God. See, it's the blood of Christ that covers us and covers all of our sin and makes us worthy to enter in boldly before the throne of God to receive grace and mercy new every day from God. And just like we receive that payment for our sin, just like we receive that covering that makes us holy and acceptable to God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, we need to receive that wholeness. We need to receive the healing that came through the beatings of his son, Jesus Christ, that came through his son, Jesus Christ, who it said was beautiful to behold, was made so abhorrent. He was emaciated. He was beat so terribly that they could not even look upon him. Then he was dead. He was cut off out of the land of the living. Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and three nights for our transgression. It said that he was punished for our transgression. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So God's son, Jesus Christ, who was innocent, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So all that Jesus Christ did was as he was commanded to do by his Father, God Almighty. And God is going to fulfill his purpose through his son Jesus Christ's obedience to him and through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ. He is going to realize our salvation and our physical wholeness. So when we are attacked by illness, when we are attacked by disease, when we are attacked by physical injury, when we are attacked by aging, then we can call on that payment that has already been made for our physical wholeness. And we can receive restoration. We can receive healing because the price has already been paid. And understanding this is going to help us to walk into God's blessings for our life as it pertains to physical wholeness and physical healing. And to remember that way before this was realized, it was spoken of by God here in Isaiah chapter 53. Look at what it says in verse 10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. See, this is hard for us to fully comprehend what God was doing. Because as people, we can relate and we can share in suffering and pain and rejection and being despised. And yet, in verse 10, it says here that it pleased the Lord to bruise his son Jesus Christ because it was such an integral part of God's his goal and purpose of dwelling with mankind and mankind dwelling with him. And the only way for him to make that happen, the only way to realize his plan legally was to have what Adam ruined for mankind to be reversed legally. And the way it was reversed was by God paying all of mankind's sin that was realized through one man, Adam, and his disobedience. And through one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God's obedience, he was able to reverse all of the damage, 4,000 years of damage that God was able to reverse at this one moment. These 3 days of Jesus Christ burial and resurrection. And it said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. So God made his son Jesus Christ's soul an offering for sin. And it said, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The Lord prosper in his hand. See, God's pleasure prospered in the hand of his son, Jesus Christ. And that is a powerful thing to see. That's why it pleased the Lord. Remember how God told Adam to be fruitful and multiply, right? Well, God himself is in the process of being fruitful and multiplying. Those people who will accept God as their Heavenly Father and accept Jesus Christ as their Master and Lord. And if you accept Jesus as your Lord, then God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is your Heavenly Father. And that is God's big plan. He will dwell with mankind, and mankind will dwell with him. And ultimately, the one who attempted to separate God from man, the devil, Antichrist, the beast, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, and all that follow them will be done away with. And then God will dwell with his people, and his people will dwell with him. And with his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous, he shall bear their iniquities. And see, this is a powerful truth. He shall see the travail of his soul, the suffering of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify man, for he shall bear their iniquity. See, Jesus Christ is referred to as the righteous servant of God. And the travail of his soul is going to satisfy God's requirement to pay for our iniquities. See, Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and even though we all went our own way, we did our own thing, Jesus Christ paid for our sin so that we no longer need to feel unworthy. And it's so powerful to understand that one of the tricks of the devil, one of the traps of the devil, is to make you feel unworthy, to make you feel disconnected, to make you feel disqualified or unqualified to be in the presence of God. And when you remember that your sin was paid for with the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him so that you could be made physically whole. See, the same thing for your physical wholeness. When you are sick, injured, diseased, old, the price for your physical wholeness has already been paid. All you need to be able to do is, by faith, believe to show the receipt for the payment for your physical wholeness and be healed. See, your faith will make you whole, but you need to know what the word says so that you understand that the price for your physical wholeness has already been, by his stripes we are healed. And when we walk into the fullness of that, that's when we're going to begin to see signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, because we are going to begin speaking healing to those who need healing. And they are going to receive that wholeness. And that is going to become the norm, because signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe. We are called believers because we believe in the Word of God. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And we are going to use that power within us to heal the sick, to cause the blind to see, to cause the lame to walk, to raise the dead. We are going to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. We are going to speak with other tongues. We are going to do things that is going to let people know that the power of God is real. And when we understand that Jesus Christ bore our iniquities, he carried our sin on his person, that his soul suffered for us, and it satisfied the requirement of God as a sin offering that was acceptable to God for all of mankind's sin. And so the unforgivable sin is rejecting that payment that God has made for everybody's sin. See, you have to understand, this thing is as fair as it possibly gets. God paid for everybody's sin through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, because of God's foreknowledge, he knows who will not receive that payment. He knows who will not believe to receive. He knows who will not submit to his Son, Jesus Christ, as their master out of pride, out of a need to play God and do it themselves. And see, you have to decide if you want to be blessed or not. You have to decide if you want to be healed or not. And if you don't want to be healed, if you don't want to be blessed, if you accept death and if you accept cursing, then you can reject the payment for your sin, which is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And you can reject the beatings of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and not receive the physical wholeness that comes with that. And the outcome there is entirely on you. But what you need to understand is that God knew that was going to be your response. But for those of us who believe, for those of us who love God, for those of us who love ourselves, for those of us who love others, then what we have is the ability to receive that physical wholeness and healing and health that comes from understanding that was paid for by the broken body of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to understand that our spiritual wholeness that makes us worthy to come boldly before the throne of God at all times and receive grace to help in time of need is made possible through that shed blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, where his soul saw suffering. in payment for our sin. But this is where God ends all of this in Isaiah 53, and it's really powerful because he says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. So God is going to reward his son Jesus Christ, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, Jesus Christ interceded for us. He became our high priest. His intercession is between God and man. There is only one intercessor between God and man, and that is God's son, Jesus Christ. He intercedes on our behalf because we have an enemy, a personal adversary, the devil, that stands before the throne of God accusing us daily. As he's accusing us, Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf and presenting his shed blood for our sin, saying that it's already paid for, it's already covered. God knew we were going to do it before we did it, and now it's done, but it's paid for, so we can keep moving. We can keep moving near and near and near to God. We can keep loving God more. And see, that's the problem with sin, and this is why we don't want to play around with sin, is because it takes us away from the presence of God. And what it really is us moving away from God because we're choosing something else, something less, something other than. We're getting distracted by some glitter shining thing off to the right or the left instead of looking straight ahead. And we don't want to do that. But when we see God's faithfulness, when we see all that God had to achieve here in Isaiah chapter 53 in order to reverse the damage that was done by Adam's disobedience, through the obedience of God's son Jesus Christ, God accomplished so much for all of us that when we go into eternity, when God's son Jesus Christ returns and we are raptured and the dead in Christ rise first, and those of us who are alive are changed, our mortal puts on immortality, and our corruptible puts on incorruption, and we meet him in the air together, that is the beginning of our real life, our life with our Heavenly Father and his son, Jesus Christ, in eternity. So I just want to encourage you to look with a purpose, be intentional in your faith. Spend time reading Isaiah chapter 53 and really let it seep into your spirit what God accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ's obedience and being beat for your physical wholeness and being killed and laid in a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights so that God could raise him from the dead, seat him at his right hand, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then send the Holy Spirit to dwell with you and I, dwell within you and I, the same way that it was originally in Adam before he sinned. See, 4,000 years of that kind of distance between God and man is a long time. And yet for the past 2,000 years, half of that time period, we have been able to have the Holy Spirit within us. And those of us who have the Holy Spirit now need to walk in the fullness of that power and allow God to perform signs, miracles, and wonders through our believing, through our faith, right? And when we really, really walk in that, then we have to look to God to encourage other people by directing them to Acts 2:38 and 39 that tells them to repent, to turn away from serving sin, and to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to turn them to Acts 19:1 through 7 that tells them to believe to speak in tongues and believe to prophesy. We need to direct them to Romans 10:8 to 13, where it tells them to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Master, and to believe in their heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, and that those who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. See, these are absolutes. God doesn't say you might have a chance to maybe possibly get into heaven. God says you shall be saved when you do what it says in Acts 2:38 and 39, Acts 19:1 through 7, and Romans 10:8 to 13. So I highly recommend that everyone reads those verses, share those verses with your unsaved friends, and share them with your saved friends so that they can save their friends. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth today, God. Father, I thank you for you just touching someone and allowing them to see that they have always been on God's mind and that they've always been a part of God's plan and that God is realizing his purposes in them right now. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for you receiving all of the glory. I thank you for you receiving all of the praise. I thank you for your name being exalted. And I thank you for your people being known throughout the earth as they walk in the absolute power that you place within them. Allow them not to settle for limited power, but give them a desire to seek the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit that you place within them and to walk in the fullness of that power right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday night teaching with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
heaven and hear from you.
Keep my heart.
And that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
then I know what
to
do. I won't go on.
Never go on.
I'll never go on. I need
no
your spirit, God. Let your word about me. Faith in my heart, Lord.
Give me your holy word now.
If I can hear from you.
If I can hear.